Good morning. I'd like to greet you this morning in the name of Jesus and also with the words of the Galatians 1:3, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I'd like to extend a hearty welcome to each of you that have come to worship this morning. If there's guests, we're glad you came, and a hearty welcome to you as well. The subject for this morning I've entitled The Anatomy of a Backslider. And we want to look into scripture and we want to learn from someone that has firsthand experience of what it means to backslide in our faith or in a life of faith. An opening scripture passage I'd like to turn to is found in the book of 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 20 to 22. For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome, the latter end is worse with them than the beginning. For it had been better for them not to have known the way of the righteous than, after they have known it, to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. But it has happened unto them according to the true proverb, the dog is turned to his own vomit again, and the sow that was washed to her wallowing in the mire. Thus far, let us pray. Gracious God and Heavenly Father, we come before your throne of grace, and Lord, we thank you for the dawn of a beautiful new day, for the opportunity to gather in your house, to fellowship with brothers and sisters in the Lord, to look to you for wisdom, for discernment, for admonishment. Lord, we thank you for your holy word. We thank you, Lord, for your presence here through your Holy Spirit. And Lord, I just pray that you will reach down and touch each heart that is gathered here. I pray, Lord, that I'll be open to your Spirit's leading, and that what is spoken is not my own thoughts and ideas, but it is you using me as a vessel to speak. And Lord, we pray for those that are hurting, those that have lost loved ones, those that are coping with illnesses, we ask for your hand of healing. And if that is not meant to be, Lord, we look to you for comfort, for steadfastness in our faith until such a time that you release us from our earthly bodies. Lord, we pray for the leaders of our country that you, in a divine way, somehow orchestrate things that we may continue to have the freedoms of preaching the gospel that we have today. Lord, may they look to you for wisdom and discernment. Lord, we pray for our communities. There's many Christians, and we're often known as the Bible Belt, and may we have a shining light that shines brightly to those that are still wandering in darkness. Lord, help us to be bold to share our faith with those that are wavering. And Lord, we pray that we can remain steadfast and strong, and that you'll help us and that you'll make us aware when we're slipping and sliding back in serving you, in living out what we have begun with you. Lord, we look to you for strength and for courage. We ask you to provide or to protect us from the onslaughts of Satan and his evil forces. Plant a hedge of protection around us as we worship you this morning. We pray in your holy name. Amen. At this time, we have some congregational singing, please.
Let's take the red book and turn to number 140.
Not a place that he can enter in love. 97, when peace like a river.
A river I'll tend with my grace.
In our opening scripture passage, we read of the real possibility and also of the serious consequences of backsliding. And we find it interesting that this passage is something that is written by Peter. And if there was anyone who understood what it means to backslide and had firsthand experience, it was Peter. The process of backsliding is something that is gradual. And sometimes it will catch us off guard and take us by surprise. And it is Peter's life that we want to look at to show us how it led up to the fact that he denied Jesus, the one that he had a relationship with, the one whom he loved. And reality is, you and I can take the same steps backward and deny Christ without ever fully intending it. I have seen or heard of very few people that all of a sudden just make a decision, I'm done being a Christian, I'm done following the Lord, this is it. But it is something that has a process. And what I'd like to do this morning, I'd like to look at five steps that we can take backwards until eventually we realize we've denied Christ. And I don't want this to be a negative message at all this morning, but I want to bring out through God's word the reality of what can happen in our lives. And if we don't see the error of our ways, and if we don't repent, there is no forgiveness. The first step backward that we want to look at is pride. If we turn to the book of Mark in chapter 14, verse 17 to verse 21. And in the evening he cometh with the 12, and as they sat and did eat, Jesus said, Verily I say unto you, one of you which eateth with me shall betray me. And they began to be sorrowful and to say unto him one by one, Is it I? And another said, Is it I? And he answered and said unto them, It is one of the 12 that dippeth with me in the dish. The Son of Man indeed goeth as it is written of him, but woe to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. Good word for that man if he had never been born. And as they did eat, Jesus took bread and blessed and brake it and gave to them and said, Take, eat, this is my body. I'm sorry, I'm reading out of the wrong passage here. Mark chapter 14, 27 to 31. I started in a totally wrong place. That's why it wasn't connecting with myself. Let's retry this. Mark 14, 27 to 31. And Jesus saith unto them, All ye shall be offended because of me this night, for it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered. But after that I am risen, I will go before you into Galilee. But Peter said unto him, Although all shall be offended, yet will not I. And Jesus saith unto him, Verily I say unto thee, that this day, even in this night, before the cock crow twice, thou shalt deny me thrice. But he spake the more vehemently, If I should die with thee, I will not deny thee in any wise. Likewise also said they all. You know, we might say they pledge their allegiance to Jesus. They pledge their allegiance to Jesus Christ. Peter said, Even if I would die with thee, I will not deny thee. It is a sign of pride. I will not. You know, it is something we can very quickly and without giving a lot of thought say in many circumstances of life. If we look at others and say, That is something I will never do. I don't understand how they can go in that direction. It's a sign of pride. And Proverbs, in the book of Proverbs in chapter 16, verse 18, tells us very clearly that pride goeth before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. Why is this the first step backwards? We have lost our humbleness. And the first step to enter into the kingdom of Christ is humility. Humility involves, I can't do it on my own. Humility involves submitting to someone higher than ourselves. Humility is admitting, I don't have it all together. I don't have all the answers. In Proverbs 16, verse 18, it talks about a haughty spirit. You know, and as we think of the word haughty, it is something that we think we understand and we know what it means. But I just did, for interest's sake, I looked it up, the meaning, and a haughty person is someone who acts superior and looks down on others. How easy is it sometimes to see the shortcoming of others? How easy is it sometimes to make conversation and talk about the faults of those around us? Someone said years ago, don't lift yourself up by pointing out the faults in others. You know, it's a lesson, it is a statement that has stuck with one for many years, even though one sometimes can so easily fall into the trap of belittling others, even though maybe never face to their face, but behind their backs. It is a sign of pride, a sign of not being humble. In the book of Matthew, in chapter 18, in verse 3 and verse 4, Jesus said, verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of God. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Children display true humility. Children look to us as adults for examples. Children trust us unwaveringly when we make a statement or ask them to do certain things. Young children show true humility. We as adults would do well to learn from the example of a young child. But we so often think we know better. God's word might give us clear direction, and yet we might choose to go our own way. But when we have lost a humble spirit within us, we have taken the first step backward. And when we come full circle to our opening scripture passage out of 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 20 to 22, you know, it paints, we might say, an ugly picture of what backsliding really is. You know, he goes as far as to say, a person that has never understood and accepted Christ, never understood the gospel, is almost in a better position than one that denies Christ and turns back. And he likens it to a dog that has vomited and then licks up the vomit that he has just vomited out. Or he likens it to a pig that has been washed and basically right away, if you let it go, goes back to a wallowing in the mud. You know, that is what we as Christians might think is quite ugly. But you know, to turn away from the Lord is ugly spiritually. And the great thing is, and we won't get to that right now, but there is a way out. The second step in stepping backwards is laziness. In the book of Mark, in chapter 14, verse 32 to 42, we have the instance of where Jesus and his disciples went to a place which was named Gethsemane. And he says to his disciples, you know, you guys, you stay here. And he asked he separated the three of them, and he asked them to pray on his behalf. And what did he find? You know, Jesus, he was in agony. He was in deep distress, even though all along he knew his Heavenly Father's plan that he would need to go the way of the cross. He was human, and humans struggle with the thought of death. And Jesus had a hard time. And after he had prayed, he came back, and what were they doing? They were sleeping. Here's the Peter that had just a short time before this said, you know, even if everybody else is going to deny you, I will not. I will go with you till death. Here he's already falling asleep. He was asked to keep watch. Jesus separated himself from them a short distance three times. The last time when he came back, he says, in other words, go have your way, sleep on. My time has come. But what caused him to fall asleep spiritually? It was a lack of earnest prayer. Jesus had called them out, pray earnestly. But their lack of commitment, or whatever it might have been, caused them to become lazy, to fall asleep. And as we will follow through, we will see how Peter, a short time later, was caught off guard because he had neglected a prayer, he had neglected scripture reading. The same thing can happen to you and me. If we neglect to feed ourselves spiritually by reading God's word, by spending time in prayer, we can be sliding back much quicker than we might have ever anticipated. In the book of Luke, in chapter 21, verse 34 to 36, here Jesus warns, and he says, "And take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and cares of this life, and so that they come upon you unawares. For as a snare shall it come on all them that dwell on the face of the whole earth. Watch ye therefore, and pray always, that ye may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass, and to stand before the Son of Man." So it is important to spend time connected to Jesus. How do we connect? Reading his word, by being in prayer and allowing him to speak to us. Then when Christ's return happens, or we take our final breath on this side of eternity, we are prepared. We do not need to be afraid of what will happen after our physical body dies. And when God's word here in Luke 21, verse 34 to 36, talked about surfeiting and drunkenness, what does the word surfeiting mean? Again, I looked it up. It's acting in excess. You know, being overboard, in other words, in whatever we do. The definition talks about intoxication, overindulgence in alcohol, and the list could go on, where we get caught up in things that are ungodly and causing us to slide back. Because we're spiritually lazy, we're not spiritually awake and sensitive to what is happening around us. In the book of Hebrews, in chapter 2, in the first three verses, the writer says, "Therefore we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord, and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him?" We've got to be awake. We've got to pay attention. We've got to give heed to God's word, to the Spirit, as it leads and guides us in life. We are warned, don't let it slip. And when we're proud, as I started off with the first step, we also become lazy, and that leads to the next step. We become a spiritual coward. Step 3. In the book of Mark, chapter 14, verse 54, the first part of the verse, "And Peter followed him afar off." You know, Jesus had been captured. He was taken before the high priest. He was tried. You might say he was before a jury. He was accused falsely. And here already we see Peter following. He didn't totally desert Jesus, as many others of the disciples did, but he followed from a distance. And Peter followed him afar off. Now that Jesus, we might say, had become unpopular, Peter stays back far enough, hoping that he will not be identified as one of those that spent a lot of time with Jesus. By doing this, Peter was unprepared for the challenge of facing ridicule and persecution. If you and I don't prepare to meet opposition, it is easy to become a spiritual coward. And what are some of the signs that we might look for in a spiritual coward? You know, are we ashamed for others to recognize that we are a Christian? And when we sit down, let's take, for example, in a restaurant, and we receive our meal, are we ashamed to bow our heads and to pray? Are we ashamed at our workplace to speak about our involvement as a Christian in our service to the Lord, whether it's in church or in other places of serving Him? Are we afraid to be seen that we carry a Bible when we come to the Lord's house to worship, to study? Are we afraid of what others will think when it becomes evident that I'm a Christian, I am a Christ follower? In the book of Mark, in chapter 8 and in verse 38, Jesus makes it very clear how he feels about those that are ashamed of him. Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. You know, if we're not open about our faith, when we're ashamed to be recognized as Christian, as a Christian, when the Lord returns for us, he's going to be ashamed of us. In other words, his mediation on your and my behalf, his death on the cross to pay for the penalty of your sin and my sin, then has no eternal value for the one that is ashamed of Christ. Further to that, in the book of Revelation, in chapter 21, verse 38, Revelation 21, verse 8, but the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. I find it interesting when he talks of those that will end up in hell, the very first one listed is the fearful. Those that are a coward, those that don't want to be recognized as Christ followers. And when we're ashamed of Christ, it is natural to fall into the next step, step four, we become a worldly person. But before we look into that, let us take the time, and for those that are able, let us kneel and pray in the name of Jesus. May the Lord hear many prayers and grant his blessings. Amen.
Take the blue book, turn to 307, come to the Savior. 307, those that are able, let's stand.
Tenderly saying,
Trusting the Lord has heard our many prayers, we are encouraged to continue with our message this morning. Step 4, worldliness. In the book of Mark, in chapter 14, and in verse 54, we started off with Peter following him afar off, and then we continue, even into the palace of the high priest, and he sat with the servants and warmed himself at the fire. Here's Peter, sitting with who? His fellow disciples? Nope. He's sitting with the servants of the high priest and warming himself with their fire. He's ashamed to be seen with Jesus. And it is easy to mingle with those of the world, and it's easy to enjoy their comforts. But reality is, we cannot truly be comforted by the fires of the world and not get burned. Close contact with the fires of the world or with sin has its effect, it has consequences, and it will bring us down. Coming back to the book of Proverbs in chapter 6, verse 27 and 28, we read, "Can a man take fire in his bosom and his clothes not be burned? Can one go upon hot coals and his feet not be burned?" You know, it's almost like a law of physics. You can't take fire in your lap and yet your clothing won't get burned, or you can't walk in hot coals and your feet will not be burned. Likewise, it is with sin. If we dabble with sin, it's not that I'm saying as Christians we won't sin and make mistakes. But when a person walks away from the Lord, gives in to the different things of the world, and continues to live in sin, it will bring you down. We cannot, in other words, flirt with the world and walk away untouched. By the time we become friends with the world, it is only but a few short time, or a little short time, before we take the final step of backsliding, and that is denial. In Mark, in chapter 14, verse 66 to 71. "And as Peter was beneath in the palace, there cometh one of the maids of the high priest. And when she saw Peter warming himself, she looked upon him and said, And thou also wast with Jesus of Nazareth. But he denied, saying, I know not, neither understand I what thou sayest. And he went out into the porch, and the cock crew. And a maid saw him again, and began to say to them that stood by, This is one of them. And he denied it again. And a little while after, they that stood by said again to Peter, Surely thou art one of them, for thou art a Galilean. Thy speech agreeth thereto. But he began to curse and to swear, saying, I know not this man of whom ye speak. And the second time the cock crew, and Peter called to mind the word that Jesus said unto him, Before the cock crow twice, thou shalt deny me thrice. And when he thought thereupon, he wept." Here's Peter. He's away from Jesus. He's away from the support of fellow Christians or the other disciples. He's enjoying, we might say, the comfort of those around him, the comfort of the world. And he finds himself denying his Lord and his Savior, Jesus Christ. And by doing this, he has put himself in grave danger. He didn't realize where he was going until the reminder that Jesus had given him, Peter, before the rooster crows, you will have denied me three times. When the rooster crowed for the second time, Peter remembered. In the book of Matthew, in chapter 10, verse 32 and 33, Jesus says, "Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father, which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father, which is in heaven." You know, even though you and I may never deny Jesus in the words we say, we can very easily backslide to the point that we deny him with our actions or with our lifestyle. You know, if we wanted to stop right here, we could paint a pretty bleak picture. We could walk out of here this morning totally hopeless. How will I ever be saved? But how can we, before we go further with that, let's first look at how we can deny Christ. You know, when the Holy Spirit knocks on your heart's door and convicts you of, you know, there's a position in church that needs to be filled. But we just keep on making excuses, whatever they might be. I'm too busy, or I'm not gifted in that area, or the list could go on. Are we giving excuses of serving Christ? Are we, when we are called to worship, do we rather stay at home on the couch and drink our coffee and resort to maybe covering our conscience somewhat with watching the service online? When we do that, we miss out on the fellowship of other believers in the Lord. It is not wrong to sit at home and to watch these services, but when you're substituting the fellowship because you're more comfortable, are you giving in to the pressures of the world? You know, it's like when you have a fire pit, you've been burning some fire for the evening and sitting and relaxing around it and enjoying it. And when you have a nice heap of coals, you know, all the coals together make a nice bed of heat where you can either roast some wieners, marshmallows. If you have a grill, put it over it, barbecue, or roast some hamburgers. The list could go on of the positive things that can be used for. But if you take one of those red hot coals out and put it beside the fire pit and you try to roast something, it just won't work. And likewise, when we choose to neglect being in the Lord's house, when we choose to neglect fellowship with brothers and sisters in the Lord, and then and when time comes where we might need some warmth, some heat, some help, we're cold, we're alone. And I've seen this personally too often, where when someone is sickly, whether they're hospitalized or at home, and someone calls and makes you aware and asks you to go there, and the people that have neglected the Lord's house, the people that have neglected the fellowship of other Christians, become a very lonely person. The people of the world, they might care for you somewhat, but when you're not contributing to their habits, to their way of life, you become an island. And where I've seen the exact opposite, when you're part of a fellowship of believers and you fall ill, there is love, there's support, there's encouragement, and that fire doesn't immediately die. Let's be of those that remain in the fire. Let's fellowship and worship together, that we can create, if you want to call it, spiritual heat that'll warm the hearts of those that observe us around us. It'll be a drawing for those that deny Christ and don't want to follow him fully, that they will see the love, the joy that we have as we are together with one another. Does this mean we'll always think alike? Does it mean we'll always agree? No. But it means that we will love and respect each other and work out what is best and do our utmost to work together in unity and love. How can we become, or how can we deny Christ when we're called to worship him? Or we can deny Christ when we're called to serve him and give little or no service at all. When you and I as a Christian are called to stand by Jesus' side and maybe be ridiculed to be identified as a Christian, but we rather choose to stand as Peter did by the fires of the world and try to look there for comfort. In Matthew 7:20, it tells us, "By their fruits ye shall know them." You know, when we observe those around us, we can very easily tell who's on fire for the Lord and who just chooses to be selfish, self-centered, and do their own thing. When we deny Jesus, whether it's in words or by our actions, our backsliding is complete. And unless we repent, the only thing that is left for us is one day to face Jesus, where we will fully realize the error of our ways. Peter, he fully realized his sin when Jesus turned around and looked at him out there in the courtyard. In the book of Luke, in chapter 22, verse 60 to 62, we read, "And Peter said, Man, I know not what thou sayest, and immediately while he yet spake, the cock crew. And the Lord turned and looked upon Peter, and Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said unto him, Before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And Peter went out and wept bitterly." Peter, when he was reminded, he had true remorse. A person doesn't weep bitterly when they're maybe sorry they were caught. But he wept bitterly because he realized from the depths of his heart he had erred. He had denied Jesus. And Peter had what we might call godly sorrow, and that godly sorrow resulted in true repentance. And if you would study the life of Peter, you know, after Jesus' death, after his resurrection, after his return to heaven, who was one of the bold disciples that spoke out for Jesus? It was Peter. So, you know, brother or sister, if we have denied Christ in whatever which way, don't lose heart. Repent, have remorse, ask the Lord's forgiveness, and put it behind you. Go on. Learn from the mistakes you have made and serve Christ wholeheartedly. God hasn't given up on you. Don't give up on yourself. Look to him for encouragement, for direction. And as we serve him, it fills our heart with joy. Doesn't mean circumstances will always be easy street, but it means we'll have inner joy despite of whatever happens around us. In 2 Corinthians in chapter 7 and in verse 10, it says, "For godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of, but the sorrow of the world worketh death." You know, there's a difference. When we have godly sorrow, we should never be ashamed of it. But it brings us back to salvation. But the sorrow of the world, you know, that's as I mentioned just a few minutes ago or moments ago. It's sort of being sorry I got caught. And there's no remorse. It tells us it worketh death. There is no salvation. So in conclusion this morning, let's take advice from someone who learned the hard way, from Peter. In 1 Peter in chapter 5, verse 5 and verse 6, Peter says, "Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Ye all of you, be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility, for God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time." Remember where we started off? The first step backwards was pride. And to correct pride, there has to be humility. We have to guard against pride with the Lord's help. And to be humble is submission. He says, "Ye younger, submit to the elder." Look to the older ones or to the more experienced ones for examples and for encouragement. But all of you, you know, he says, be subject one to another. Don't think I'm better than whoever else is next to you, but to be clothed with humility, looking to others to support, to encourage them, resist the proud. God give us grace to the humble. And then let's beware of becoming spiritually lazy. 1 Peter 5, just a few verses down, verse 8 and verse 9. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. You know, to be sober doesn't just mean to be not to be drunk, but to be sincere. Doesn't mean we can't enjoy life, doesn't mean we can't smile and laugh and have fun, but be sober, be sincere about your faith, be vigilant, don't give up. And he says, why? The devil wants to destroy any and all good that is in your life. He is a joy destroyer. He tries to destroy and get us to despair of any blessings that we are enjoying. But he says in verse 9, resist him. Be strong in your faith. And he also is saying, in other words, realize you're not fighting this battle alone. There's others that have gone this before. There's others around you that are struggling. We are never alone. And that is why I come back to what I said earlier. Let's be a team. Let's work together. Let's not neglect the fellowship of other Christians. Number three, don't be a coward. In 1 Peter 4, verse 16, yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. We might sometimes be ridiculed or suffer because we declare Christ as our Lord and our Savior. But he says, don't let it tear you down. Rather, let's pray for those individuals that do this. Number four, let's abstain from worldliness. Let's turn to 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 11 and 12. Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul, having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, that they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. You know, don't give in to arguing with a non-believer, but rather show them by your lifestyle, by the things that you say, that you care for them. You know, it takes two fools to argue. And if someone is arguing, let them be. Rather, pray for them. Let them say what they want to say. I know it's not that easy. Sometimes we want to retaliate, but rather, let's let it be. Let the Lord have his way. Let his Spirit convict. We're not the Holy Spirit. We should not be arguing to convince others, but let the Lord do the work. And then in 1 Peter, in chapter 3, in verse 15, instead of denying Christ, let's rather sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. No, when others challenge us, praise the Lord, be ready to give an answer. How are we ready to give an answer? When we are immersed in God's word, when we read it and apply it, when we pray and let the Lord guide us, do it with meekness, do it with fear, in other words, with high regard, high respect for the Lord. So let's take advice from the one that learned the hard way, the Apostle Peter, and let's not backslide to the point that we deny Jesus. In 2 Peter in chapter 3, and in verse 17, we read, ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. Let's remember, when Peter looked into the eyes of Jesus, Peter had time to repent. But for us, when we will look into the eyes of Jesus, the time to repent is too late. It is over. It'll be time for judgment. And if you realize that you're guilty of backsliding, repent now. Don't wait until you stand before Jesus. Repent now so that your face-to-face encounter with Jesus will be terrific, not something that is terrifying. In 2 Peter 3, verse 18, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. Let us pray. Gracious God, we come before you. We thank you for the clarity of your holy word. We thank you, Lord, for your Holy Spirit that speaks into our hearts, that reminds us when we've gone wrong, gives us opportunity to repent. Lord, we thank you for the forgiving, for the merciful and loving God that you are. Regardless of our history, regardless of our present, Lord, you're ready and willing to forgive. And Lord, we look to you for forgiveness when we have erred and denied you. And Lord, as you forgive us, may you restore the joy of our salvation through you. Give us the encouragement, the zest to serve you. Help us to let our light shine in this dark world. Help us to be open about our faith. And when others ask us, help us to share our personal testimony of our relationship with you. And that in turn, it will help others to realize the error of their ways and to turn to you for salvation as well. Lord, bless us as a congregation and make us a blessing to those that we will meet up with later today or throughout the week. Help us to honor and glorify your holy name in everything that we say and do. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. For any other concerns that are in your heart, remember, we can come before God's throne of grace at any time, wherever we are. And for those that are able, let's kneel for a time of silent prayer. Thank you, Lord, for hearing our many prayers. Amen.
From the Blue Book, number 407, Near the Cross. Flows
Morning. Thank you, Brother Art, for a wonderful message. And just this morning, just some reminders. This morning, or it's lunchtime today, we have potluck. And also, our annual picnic is coming up. This is something that we've started to plan already a while back. And there's a sign-up sheet in the back. We're looking for volunteers. Anybody who's interested in helping us with their picnic that's coming up September 10th. So it'll be right after the second service at the Winkler Park. Also, looks like summer's winding down and fall is coming, and there's quite a few events that looks like they're gonna come up. There's gonna be clubs and youth, college and careers, adult Bible study, ladies fellowship, choir practice, and then again, men's breakfast. So there's a lot of things coming up. Looking forward to a lot of these functions that are happening to bring us back together, to bring you more unity and fellowship in our church. And also there's some opportunities for anybody who's interested in serving. So there's Sunday school teachers are still needed, and there's also a helper needed in our sound booth. So if anybody's interested in serving and helping, you can contact Marcus Clausen for that. And as for Sunday school, there's Isaac Unruh and Abe Tykrobe. You can contact them if you're interested in helping in Sunday school. And then in the back, prayers. Isaac Carter, he messaged me and he wants to personally thank you for all the prayers. So in the last while, I've been asking for prayer support for people that are struggling or that are hurting, and you hear it again and again. They come and they say they feel it. They feel your prayers. So they want to thank you for that. And let's just keep them all in our prayers, and especially Nettie Wall. She lost her husband, and she needs a lot of prayer support. So thank you.
Thank you, excuse me. Thank you, Henry. Thank you for your prayer support. It is of an encouragement to us, and may God richly bless you for that. We've come to the conclusion of our service, and let's conclude with a benediction out of Numbers 6, 24 to 26. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. You may now go in the peace of our Lord.